And again, you are listening to KBOO Portland. Coming up next, Air Cascadia headlines, interviews, and commentary with Chris Andre at 10:15. Here, Flashpoints Investigative News Radio with host Dennis Bernstein. And at 11, Michelle Schroeder Fletcher hosts a panel discussion with presenters from the Mathematics Education and Society Conference, a biennial international conference being held this week at Portland State University, exploring social, political, cultural, and ethical dimensions of mathematics education. Thank you, KBOO members, for your generous support for community radio. If you're not a current member, you can become one by going to kboo.fm and clicking on Donate Today. Now stay tuned for Air Cascadia.
Attention, KBOO members and listeners. The KBOO Foundation is seeking to fill four upcoming vacancies on the Board of Directors. Terms run 3 years, beginning on October 1st. The nomination packet, due July 11th, is posted on the KBOO website and paper copies are available at the station. Candidates must submit the completed nomination packet via email to kboocommunity@gmail.com or mail or drop off the completed nomination packet, care of Timothy Welp, 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, 97214. Incomplete forms will not be considered as fulfilling the statement of interest requirement by the KBOO bylaws. Packets are due by Saturday, July 11th. The candidate statements submitted as part of the nomination packet will be posted to KBOO's website, and candidates will be expected to participate in an interview for broadcast and a Q&A session at the annual meeting. For more information, please contact the nominating committee at kboocommunity@gmail.com.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Friday, June 26th, 2015, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. Our guest today, Dr. Ida Hellander, is the Director of Health Policy and Programs at Physicians for a National Health Program, a nearly 20,000 member organization of doctors headquartered in Chicago. She co-edits the PNHP's newsletter. She is also a frequent contributor to the International Journal of Health Services and is co-author of the book Bleeding the Patient: The Consequences of Corporate Health Care. She's here joining us today by phone from Chicago to talk about single payer. Why are we not still talking about it, especially in the light of the Supreme Court upholding most of Obamacare, another Supreme Court decision on that topic that has, of course, infuriated Republicans, but not anywhere near as much as single payer. It causes their eyes to glow red. So we need to keep talking about it, because the longer we delay single payer, the longer we are not only bleeding the patient, we're bleeding the nation, and we're bleeding indeed the whole planet. We cannot afford this folly very much longer. At some point, we will run out of money, and there is nothing like a shortage of money to bring people around to their senses. We've got a few headlines, local stuff going on today, and of course a huge historic Supreme Court decision on same-sex marriage. This will definitely be for the history books. People will be talking about this, and of course enjoying and living in the light of this extraordinary decision. On that topic, though, we must leave it for now. We must go ahead because don't often have a chance to talk single payer. We should be talking about it far more often than we actually do. But I assure you that it's going to come up more and more frequently as the failures and fiascos that we've created insofar as our healthcare, our broken healthcare delivery system, gradually grinds to a halt. And we begin to look around for the only thing that is compassionate, humane, and intelligent. And on that note, I want to welcome Dr. Hellander to the KBOO airwaves. Good morning, Dr. Hellander. Thanks for being with us today.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Well, this is indeed timely in light of the decision on Obama's health care, Affordable Care Act, the decision by the Supreme Court in King v. Burwell to uphold the Affordable Care Act's premium subsidies in about three dozen states. It spares more than 6 million Americans the health and financial harms associated with sudden loss of health coverage. But there's still, what about, there's a great deal that is left out. There are a great many people left out, and there is nothing to stop insurance company, pharmaceutical companies from jacking up the cost of medicines that are critical to life itself for many, many patients. So I find it extraordinary that the Affordable Care Act, and indeed thousands upon thousands of people in a position to make these kind of decisions, fails to see the millions of people who are not covered and the coming problems that are inevitable as we go forward. Can you talk a bit about, your group is extraordinary. We're so happy to know that you are there and doing, fighting the good fight, Physicians for National Health Program. Talk a little bit, if you would, about what prompted you to form your organization and what steps you are taking, what you want to urge us, what steps we can take to support your efforts.
Well, Physicians for a National Health Program was founded almost 30 years ago now by physicians that were really concerned about health care for the poor, and they realized that unless we had a good health care system for everyone, that health care systems for just the poor tend to be poor health care systems. So having a system of universal access, and they considered models around the world, for example, Canada's single-payer system, and England, and many of the systems in Europe, and they decided that the best program for health care for the poor would be a good system for all Americans, and that system that would probably best be a single-payer national health insurance system. And, of course, this isn't a very foreign concept to Americans, because we already have a Medicare program that is, you know, it's not exactly single-payer, because it still has to exist in our crazy patchwork healthcare system. But it's close, it's sort of quasi-single-payer, and it demonstrates to Americans, you know, how effective and, you know, long-term, a real good national health program can be. So what we do is we do research and education about the need for, you know, what we call an improved and expanded Medicare for All, which people in the know also call single-payer. So I think your listeners probably, you know it by both terms, but for people that don't already know about single payer, we try to explain it, you know, as improved and expanded Medicare. So we do research, we do education, we're doing outreach to physicians, of course, because that's who makes up our members. But we're and also we have a special goal in reaching, you know, younger physicians and medical students who have a lot of energy and will bring a lot to the movement. We're also very interested in working with community groups, and there are organizations across the country, coalitions of community groups that we work with. And we are also really active in a program of, you know, writing and media outreach. And I have to say, I'm delighted to be on your show today. We're especially looking forward to, with the 50th anniversary of Medicare coming up on July 30th, we're looking forward to trying to publish op-eds around the country that will, you know, celebrate Medicare, but say that the, you know, over the long term, what we really need to do is to expand it and improve it, and that's actually the best way to control the cost, not only of the Medicare program, but the total healthcare system.
And bringing that forward to into people's attention right now. It's important because we are looking at probably very, very serious financial woes brought about by our generally bellicose attitude towards countries around the world. So, on that said, though, you have this. The organization's been around for a while. It only came to my attention because here in Portland, the Matters Held Doctors Caravan set out across the country a few years back. One of the members of that caravan, and was Eugene Uphoff. They went to among towns, communities across the nation, talking to people in community centers everywhere about single payer. And about Medicare and the fact that we do already have infrastructure in place. It would not be a massive overhaul, as some have characterized single payer. But nonetheless, when you look at the Affordable Care Act, or so-called Obamacare, where do you see the cracks appearing first? Because it seems that this has been diluted, and critical parts of it have been whittled away to the point that it leaves a lot of people without medical care. Never mind this business. How do we ever get to the idea that we need insurance? We don't. We need medical care. But
I couldn't agree with you more. I think one of the cracks showed up, you know, with the 2012 Supreme Court ruling that upheld the individual mandate and the law as constitutional, but at the same time made the Medicaid expansion portion of the law optional for the states. So what we've seen is that in terms of, you know, expanding health care insurance for the poor, the law has done a pretty good job in northern states, mostly, that have expanded their Medicaid programs. But in at least 21 states have not expanded their Medicaid programs. They're largely states with very large numbers of uninsured. You have to be very poor to receive Medicaid in most of those states now. In some states, if you earn more than, say, $1,000 or $2,000 a year, you're not eligible for Medicaid. So we have extremely poor people in half the country who don't have any health care, despite, you know, it being 5 years after the passage of the Affordable Care Act. Then we also have... although the subsidies were upheld, the coverage that people have been able to get with the subsidies, of course, without them they wouldn't be able to afford any insurance, but even with the subsidies, the coverage that they're able to get has extremely high deductibles and copays and other costs. And I just read something from the Federal Reserve Bank that said that, you know, half of modest income Americans would not be able to afford the average deductible on a silver plan last year, which was $2,550. So if you can't afford your deductible 1 year, how are you supposed to afford your deductible year after year after year? So really what we've got is we've got a lot of new insurance out there that people are going to be unable to use and unable to afford over the long term.
The whole concept go ahead.
Well, so I just wanted to say that we still have, in terms of, you know, talking about the uninsured, we still have 25 to 30 million people that are totally uninsured. We have another 31 million people that are what's called underinsured, where their deductible would be more than 5% of their income. If they got really sick, it would cost them more than 10% of their income. And then we have costs rising and enormous disparities still in our health system. So what we really have is we really still have a healthcare crisis, and the court's ruling to uphold the subsidies, while it didn't, you know, upend the whole private insurance market, you know, for 10 million people yesterday, it also didn't move us really forward where we need to go, which is an improved and expanded Medicare for all.
And we'll never do that as long as the insurance company's there. We are down to about a minute left, less than that. To wrap things up for our listeners today, what would you like to people to take away from this conversation?
I'd like them to take away that we need an improved and expanded Medicare for all, that Medicare is turning 50 on July 30th, and that's a great time to speak out on behalf of a real national health insurance program for everyone.
And thank you so much. May we invite you back on that date to join us again?
To.
Wonderful. We'll have a birthday party for Medicare. Thank you so much.
My
guest, of course, has been Dr. Ida Hellander. She's one of three physicians as part of the Physicians for a National Health Program, 19,000-member organization of doctors headquartered out of Chicago. This has been Air Cascadia for Friday, June 26, 2015. Emily Young engineered the show for us today. Thanks, Emily. Kathleen Stevenson is the KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts, know your rights, take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.
Flashpoints, the Supreme Court upholds key aspects of the Affordable Care Act.